Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, BT.
Holy crap, it's August. Really?
Yep.
Already?
Yep.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, damn. My birthday is next month. What?
I know.
Oh. I'm going to be hiding. Don't bother me on my birthday.
All
right.
So you don't want all the names we all have to give you is what you're saying, right?
You are not going to send me anything. Oh, yeah.
What?
It is August 1st, 2013. I'm just so white. I'm bullshit today. I don't know why I'm so mad, but I am. I'm angry. and then that lovely lady over there who's been trying to talk me out of being mad, and she's a wonderful friend. I do adore her. That is Corey/Gamernatrix. Hi, ma'am.
Slice behind the knees with lemon juice. That's what's coming for you. Behind the knees.
I love you.
Behind the knee, not on front.
I love you, girl.
Y'all know what that's like, especially if you live in Texas and you ever sat on something that, you know how you have those, your grandma has that old car with the pleather seat and it's got a cut in it, and you sit down and it cuts the back of your leg and the sweat is running in, that's what this is going to feel like for you. Snow White.
That crap hurts, too.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You keep scratching it.
I really hate it when you accidentally cut yourself in the back of the knee shaving, and then you don't know it until you're outside, and then you start sweating, and it, like, goes down. Oh, that hurts.
See, y'all need to learn how to test that. What I do, try to, is run over with some more soap just to find those spots so I can make sure I lotion them up nicely so that if it runs, it covers. Anyway, I prepare for cuts. Of course, you cannot prepare for the blood because, you know, if you live in Texas and even if it's a small cut, it's going to run.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to, blood's going to run down your leg. Mosquitoes are on you. Fun. Wow. There is good, juicy, delicious.
There is a whole crap load of, you are right. You go first, cause last time I stole your story, so you go first.
Okay.
I'll be sitting here drinking my soda, trying to wake up.
I forgot to get a drink this morning. I had coffee and I forgot to get juice. Okay, so those of you people who are interested in knowing what the reputation system is in Xbox One should know, there is a blog up on MicrosoftNews.xbox.com that talks about that feature. You'll be able to mute and block people that you don't like playing with. And this will go into a very complex algorithm that will determine one's feedback score. This will separate players into good, needs improvement, and avoid me. As in, stay away from me. As in, I'm a terrible player.
Wow.
Get it. These will be color-coded green, yellow, and red, respectively, and be viewable on your gamer card. The new model will take all of the feedback from players' online flow and put them in a system with a crazy algorithm that they have created with MSR. They're calling it the Microsoft Research PhD to make sure things are fair for everyone. That's from Xbox Live programmer Michael Dunn, whom I have never met, whom I may have to choke. He says, your reputation score is ultimately up to you. The more hours you play online without being a jerk, the better your reputation will be. Similar to the more hours you drive without an accident, the better your driving record and insurance rates will be. Dunn noted, according to Eurogamer, most players will wind up in green. Players will receive several warnings before they drop down to the red. He also explained that the algorithm is sophisticated enough that it won't penalize players for a few bad reports. Even good players might receive a few player feedback reports each month, and that is okay. The algorithm weighs the data collected, so if a dozen people suddenly report a single user, the system will look at a variety of factors before docking their reputation. This complex HAL-like algorithm also takes into account how often someone leaves poor feedback and how good their feedback is. The system also looks at the reputation of the person reporting and the alleged offender, frequency of reports from a single user, and a number of other factors. If you don't want to play with cheats or jerks, you don't have to. Our new reputation model helps expose people that aren't fun to be around and creates real consequences for troublemakers that harass our players. The reputation system is an interesting notion. Yeah. Let me just tell you, I don't hear anything there that's going to be helpful. You know the easiest way to deal with somebody you don't want to play with? Just block them. I don't have to start rating. I don't care, really. I just block them. I blocked her during the Blender class we were taking because she had her mic on. Serious, I just got tired of hearing her background noise. And no problem, I de-rendered her. Y'all don't know Second Life. Y'all don't know what that is. I made her disappear. I don't even see her. She don't exist anymore. So I don't see what all this reputation business is, and it has the potential to go wrong. It's not a matter of if 12 people report somebody at once. It could be that they just don't like them. What if you're playing with somebody in a game, you and your friends, you just don't like them. They're not really doing anything. They're not, cussing or calling you bad names or ruining your game. You just don't like them. You never liked them. You saw them at PAX or wherever, and you're like, oh, I don't want to play with them. I'm just going to rate them badly. And maybe all of you have the same idea at the same time. What happened to that poor person? They really didn't do anything. You just don't get along well. I don't like this idea at all. And they've already had it in place. It doesn't really do any good. You know, you guys know currently on Xbox you can rate other players and say if they're good or bad or whatever. I don't know why it needed to be tweaked. Just leave it alone. And it's not like I'm going to get something for being good. Am I going to get a free game or something if I stay in the green for a number of months? I'm trying to figure out what's the benefit of this for me. If I don't like somebody again, I can leave their game and block them. It takes all of 35 seconds. Was it really so difficult that we needed you to fix it to make it better for us, Microsoft? Do you think so, Snow? Did it need to be fixed?
No. I mean, okay, the reputation system, and I understand that they put all these what they think are fail-safes in line. Like, you know, they look at how often this particular person has put in bad things, you know, whatever you said. All the fail-safes that you talked about, where they looked at the person putting in the feedback, the person receiving the feedback, how often they do it, what type of feedback it is, all this kind of stuff. I understand they did this. But anytime you put a, quote, reputation system into effect, someone's going to find some way to troll somebody with it. That's what I'm thinking. I really don't think a reputation system needs to be there. I really don't, okay? And I'll make a good example. Let's say you have someone new to the game, okay? Let's say that they're new to games, period. They've never played a game before in their life. So they start trying to learn. They get in one group, and they're not so good, okay? So they get bad reviews, whatever. And then another group comes up, and they're like, okay, well, we'll go ahead and take you. So they try again. But this group is comprised of a bunch of douchebags. So the douchebags give them bad reviews, saying they suck when they're just new and they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So now their, quote, reputation looks bad because it wasn't just one group that did it was two. So now this poor person who has never played a game before in their life, who really wants to learn, can't find a group to teach them because of this reputation system. Yes, that's what I'm worried about. And it doesn't matter, all these fail-safes, someone is going to find some way to get around it, to troll somebody, Plus, there's going to be these poor newbie people who really want to learn, and no one's going to help them because they have a, quote, bad rep. I never like stuff like that.
Nah, just let people alone. Let them play. Let them handle their own. Or better yet, hire somebody that's their job. They sit and they play games all day. They look for people who are talking smack, message them privately and say, hey, I'm with the Xbox police. I need you to watch the language. You're playing Viva Pinata. No need to talk to the 5-year-old that way. If you continue to do so, we're going to do a temporary ban for a few hours. And after that, if you do it again, we're going to have to go ahead and ban you for a month. You know, that's a good job for somebody. I do that all day. Not all day, but, for a few hours.
Oh, I would do it. I mean, I would definitely do it. And I know about new people wanting to learn because I was that new person years and years and years ago. I know what the crap I was doing. Luckily, I had real-life friends who taught me how to play.
I was on Xbox Live.
Some people don't
have
that luxury.
Week two, playing Mech Assault, which I hate, by the way, and I could not play. And I played with a bunch of people that were crazy, and none of the stuff that they have now was there. I could not block or anything like that. All I could do was leave the game. But, as Snow said, if they'd had reputation in place, I probably would have gotten all kinds of, oh, she left in the middle of a game, and that wasn't really a girl, it was a guy. He had one of those voice things on, which did not exist on Xbox at the time, which I found funny. But, yeah, mm-hmm. So it's. Anyway, news, what you got?
All right, news, let me see. Now, we all know that Saints Row has been having the worst time getting rated in Australia, right?
Yeah.
We've done this. They just can't get it, and it's all because of that alien anal probe, I'm telling you. So, the alien anal probe has been keeping Saints Row from being able to be rated in Australia. However, GTA 5 has apparently been rated 18R, 18+, for Australia.
I told
you. How GTA passed, but Saints Row didn't, I have no idea.
Because I believe Rockstar offices there in Australia is why. That's what if I'm not mistaken, I believe they do.
Probably. You're probably right. Take-Two Interactive and Rockstar Games' Grand Theft Auto 5 passed through the Australian Classification Board review process and survived, earning an R18+ rating for the region. Many were concerned about the game that the game might end up getting refused classification on its first pass through the process, much like Saints Row 4 and State of Decay did earlier this year. Saints Row 4 still remains effectively banned in the region, even after the game went through a second review earlier this week. The classification board noted in its ruling that the game contains violence, adult language, some nudity, and sex, as well as high-impact drug use. The game submitted by Rockstar to the classification board is the same as the game it plans on releasing in every other region later this year. Rockstar will release GTA 5 for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 on September 17th, and a PC version has not been announced, but is up for consideration, according to Rockstar Games co-founder Dan Houser. So let me get this straight. GTA has violence, adult language, nudity, sex, and high-impact drug use, and yet...
And possibly some alien... And probably some alien anal probes.
Yes, and possibly some alien anal probes, yes. But Saints Row 4, they don't have... They have the same thing. They have violence and sex and nudity and high-impact drug use, and yet they can't get a rating. What? Something fishy is going
on,
for real.
I'm going to tell you what I think. Okay, one, they have an office there somewhere. Two... I think it's the way the medium is done. Like I said, I haven't played Saints Row since the first one, but GTA is usually a lot more artistically movie-like in the way that it presents itself. It's like playing a movie, whereas GTA is just mindless, we're going to blow up stuff, fun, for the most part. I think it has a story in there somewhere, but I wasn't compelled to play along with the story as much as I am with GTA, so that could be a factor. Because I know they'll allow the violence, it's just some stuff in Saints Row is just over the top. There's really no... There's no point for it to be there. There's no point for an alien anal probe, I don't think. I don't think it figures in with the story anywhere. Anybody out there that's playing it, let me know. But I don't think that it has anything to do. I don't know. I'm just like, good luck, Saints Row. Continue the fight. I can't say if I'm for or against because I haven't really played you in a while. So good luck with that. All right, some kid is getting critical acclaim around the internet because he managed to complete the Ocarina of Time in 22 minutes. When I say complete, I mean the whole game. Yeah. His name is Cosmo. He went to a benefit for cancer. AGDQ. And they managed to raise $448,000 for cancer research. It's a gaming marathon. And he managed to beat it in 22 minutes. They gave him a slot of 35 minutes. He sat there and live. Everybody was watching, and he beat it. The only problem with it is, people are saying, is that he used a bunch of glitches and holes. Actually, let me get to know. I think this is a trailer of some of his footage when he was playing. He's like, what? Are you like, wow? Yeah.
I'm kind of listening. I'm trying to, like, how do you finish the Ocarina of Time in friggin' 22 minutes? What are you, super gamer?
Glitches and bugs is what they say. That's why some people are like, not really. You know, you didn't actually finish. Yeah.
Oh, no. If you exploited glitches and bugs, you didn't finish it.
Well, you know,
you exploited glitches and bugs.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but you know, our new generation of gamers don't see any problem with that. I personally don't like to cheat when I play the game, at least not the first time through. I may want to find some stuff, you know, that I didn't see before, but not going to happen otherwise. Anyway, so he raised a lot of money. He managed to beat it in 22 minutes. There, Cosmo, I say fantastical. He's saying, like, there's sometimes during the cutscenes he was able to skip. He tried different dungeons in the Fire Temple. It warped into the Forest Temple. You know, so he used a lot of glitches, bugs, and things to get through some areas. Yeah. And his strategy says he just didn't want to be beaten. Good for you. I'm not sure what to say about this.
I don't really agree that he finished the game, honestly. If you use glitches and bugs, then that's not an accomplishment to me. That is nothing. That's nothing cool. I'm not going to be like, oh, dude, that's awesome. I'm going to be like, dude, that's lame.
They're saying, of course, when he got to
that
the last,
is lame.
Well, he said when he got to the last boss battle, he actually managed to do that one normal. And again, 22 minutes, 38 seconds is when he beat it. And I have to agree with Snow. That's not really beating it. I like the cause that you were there for.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love the fact he made money for a great cause. But that's lame, dude.
I like what somebody else said on because I got this from CVG, by the way. CVGComputerAndVideoGames.com if you want to go check out some more footage. One guy there says, there's enjoying video games, and then there's this. He says, I will get slated for it, but... for this, his name's Charlie Bell, for this, but really, if this guy, this kid, put this kind of time, commitment, and focus into something else, imagine what he could have achieved. You spend all this time trying to figure out how to get around glitches and bugs. Again, good for him. You raised a lot of money, but somebody else says it's taken them 13 years to complete. Dude, I still haven't finished Ocarina of Time, I don't think. I may have. I really don't remember. I played all those Legends of Zelda games, and I love them, but they do tend to run together. Zelda's always in trouble, and you always got to find her or something. Girl, get a GPS or something so we can just come straight to you. I'm tired of trying to hunt you down. Really. Taking time away from me with my man. He could be with me instead of looking for you all the time. Anyway, yeah, I don't know if I agree with this. Okay, we got more news. Snow is like, let me watch this.
Yeah.
Did he really do this?
I was watching the thing, and I don't see any reason to be impressed with that.
Not with the glitches.
Mm-mm.
Do it
really
22
don't. It's
minutes.
It's not impressive.
I don't know what was
right?
like speed
now
running.
Then I would be impressed.
I don't like the where's I'm speed running a game. I don't want to see that. I want to play my game. I want to explore and roam around. It's like, I keep saying this, playing a game for me is like reading a really good book. I want to get immersed. I don't want to talk to anybody for the most part. Well, sometimes, depending on what game I'm playing, but yeah, this is...
Well, if it's a game that has story, if it's a game that has a storyline, y'all know Link is the man. He has story, okay?
All kind of stories.
all kind of stories up in here. You can't be rushing through crap like that, you know, and I just don't like it. So going through a game as fast as you can is not impressive to me. I'm like, well, dude, you missed all of this going on. I don't care if you've played the game before. I don't care if you've played it 100 million times, okay? It's the same game, and it still has the same story, and running through it like that is not impressive to me. It just doesn't do anything. I'm just like, okay, all right.
All right, next.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Fine. All right. All right, so we've done stories on EA's EA and the NCAA's lawsuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually talked about how EA was trying to put a stop motion, basically, on the lawsuit to be like, look, there are certain things you can't get us for. Apparently, a court of appeals has decided that EA's First Amendment claim is not so good. They have rejected it. So EA's not doing so well on the lawsuit already. This is Off Game Politics, ladies and gents. Listen up. Today, a U.S. Court of Appeals handed down a ruling in the case against Electronic Arts and the National Collegiate Athletic Association over the use of student-athletes' likenesses in video games. Electronic Arts argued that using players' likenesses was a practice protected by the First Amendment. You know what? People need to stop using the First Amendment like this.
Really?
In a 2-1 decision, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed and remanded the case back to the trial court to proceed against all defendants, including the NCAA. The case, which was originally filed on May 5, 2009, in U.S. District Court in Northern California, was brought by former starting quarterback for Arizona State University and University of Nebraska, Sam Keller. Keller, represented by law firm Hoggins, Berman, Sobel, Shapiro, LLP, claimed that EA's NCAA games used... I love those names. They're just awesome names. Claimed that NCAA games use athletes' likenesses, including height, age, weight, and other information, without permission. The decision read, EA's use of the likenesses of college athletes like Samuel Keller in its video games is not, as a matter of law, protected by the First Amendment. The Court of Appeals confirmed that EA's defense, the First Amendment claim, was fundamentally and fatally flawed, said Steve Berman, Ooh. Managing partner of Hoggins Berman,
nice.
And the attorney who argued Keller's case on appeal. He also said, we expect that when we appear before the trial court again this fall, the defendants will have a very difficult time mounting a new defense for their blatant exploitation of student athletes. And I have to agree. He continued, blatant. Today's ruling, combined with the NCAA's decision not to renew its license, speaks volumes about the actions of the defendants. We are confident that EA and the NCAA made millions of dollars at the expense of student athletes by improperly taking property belonging to the athletes and the athletes alone. This ruling will give us a chance not only to recover the value of the images for the college athletes, but also to punish EA and the NCAA for intentionally profiting off of things they knew were off limits to them. A hearing on whether the lawsuit will be given class action status takes place September 5th. So, EA ain't doing so hot. Well, I guess neither is the NCAA, but since EA is a gaming company, they ain't doing so hot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the second time. Remember that our guy that did Madden, he won his case as well. Y'all better make this next Sims expansion pack good. It looks like it might be good. It better be good.
Right?
Y'all might need the money.
I still, to this day, I don't understand who thought it was a good idea to use somebody's likeness without giving them anything.
It was okay, is why. They didn't say anything, and they should have years ago, honestly. The NCAA, I'm willing to bet somebody was getting some dollars under the table about that one before the athletes finally were like, hey, you're using my name. Yeah, they got a little... a little smarter using my name and my face and everything, and we're not getting anything out of this, and people are coming up to me asking me to sign everything. I'm not getting anything out of this. And probably at some point EA told NCAA, you know, we're just going to stop giving you money, we don't really need to, because there's no law against us. And that's when the lawsuits happened. NCAA got pissy. They weren't getting their money, trust me, they were getting something. Alright, I just asked a question on Twitter. Is that an e-shop in your pocket? Or
what?
Is just happy to see me. Apparently, the Nintendo eShop app is coming to a smartphone near you and to your computer. Nice. Nintendo is reporting, I'm sorry, Eurogamer is reporting that Nintendo is saying their eShop will be available via PC and smartphones by October. Well, no, I'm sorry. They said this back in October 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Wow. So they will allow you to buy digital versions of their games via PC and smartphone. The company has been been talking of making a web version of the eShop available for some time now, along with the Wii U social network, the Miiverse is already available on the web. You'll also be able to use your PC and smartphone to manage your Nintendo Network account. Japanese news website Nikoniko is reporting this. Nintendo hopes that by making the eShop available to everyone, whether you own a Nintendo system or not, more people will be tempted by the games on offer. And they're absolutely right. If people can go over and look, they probably will pick up some more games. It would also bring the eShop in line with Xbox Live's Marketplace and Sony's PlayStation Store. See there? Yeah. Both of which have allowed you to buy content via the web for some time. Nintendo, about time you stepped up. Digital sales of Nintendo's games rose by 150% year-on-year, the company reported this morning in their financial report, which, again, I told you, we don't do financial calls. We don't do conference calls. we just don't.
Mm-mm. I will be a snoring. I will be asleep.
I told y'all I was one time. Very embarrassing. I'm very happy to see that they're doing this. Very, very nice. I love. There is a website for Animal Crossing, which I am avoiding visiting because it's just going to hurt me. Then I'm just going to walk out of here and sell everything and come back with a DS. I like, here, take everything. Just give me enough to buy a DS and Animal Crossing. Yeah. But there is a ton of fan websites so well done. I got to say that the Nintendo fan websites are better done than any fan website. Sorry, y'all, if you run one, even better than our site. The Animal Crossing one is so amazing, and they've been around since the first Animal Crossing, and it allows you to link up with other people who have Animal Crossing. Not link up directly, but you can go and look at their information, when they're going to be online. What fruits are indigenous to their town? Because for those of you who do not know, just because you have oranges and apples in your town doesn't mean the other person has that. Their town may only grow coconuts or bananas on their tree. And you may need those for something in your game, which is why they encourage you going to visit other people's towns and things. So it tells you when they're online, what fruits are indigenous to their little town, island, whatever it is they have, and what time zone they're in, and we're talking worldwide. We're not talking about just U.S., worldwide. You could go visit somebody in Germany because you're up, you know, like me, I'm a night owl. So people in the U.K. are usually up when I'm up, so I leave my town because all my animals are sleeping, and I go visit somebody else's town and cut down their trees. I mean, steal some of their fruit.
You are a bad neighbor.
I'm visiting. I'm a guest. No, I try not to cut down their trees. I do take their fruit and stuff if I don't have it already and bring it back to my town. And you can plant it, and then you grow whatever they had. They may have different fish than you. Sometimes their animals will follow you back to your town. All kinds of little cutesy things that go on. Also, another cool thing, just because it's winter for you doesn't mean it's winter in some other city or country around the world. So it's summer for us. I believe it's winter time for Australia right now. Yeah, so you could go to Australia, visit somebody's town, and they will have ice and snowmen. See how cool Nintendo is? You didn't even know. Some of you didn't know out there. Mm-hmm. You can bring back
Nintendo tends to take in the little details of things and kind of bring that in. And that's, I think that's what makes Nintendo one of the best game companies. They don't just put out a game. They think about all the tiny little details that make the game immersion that much better. That's why I like Nintendo.
Yes, except for that spooky cat, which I don't like. Baby Matrix loves that cat. Cat that talks to you while you load in the game. I could do without that cat, seriously. I'm serious. I have to get up and go get something to drink. The cat is, no, I don't want to hear
it. Really?
Yeah, it talks to you. When you're loading the game, it starts asking.
Wow.
It wants to make sure you are who you say you are, and then it'll ask you questions that only you know. When you set up your game account on whatever system you use, only you will know the answer to these questions. And if you're not, then it'll tell you you need to create a new account.
That's hot. I like that.
And it remembers your birthday. Did I tell you my animals brought me a cake? I was so surprised. I thought something was wrong with my DS. Because when you turn it on, you know, when it's your birthday, the DS, it actually, it changes the tones, you know, how your game system starts up. You know, Xbox has the big green circle and PlayStation has theirs. Well, Nintendo DS has its own, and the tones kept sounding funny. I was like, I think something's wrong with my DS. I'm all like turning it around, and then I log into Animal Crossing, and it was like, happy birthday, Corey! And there's fireworks, and they came running up with this big cake. I was like, oh, my animals remember my birthday. How sweet! And they gave me presents. Yeah, I'm such a geek. Okay.
And there you have it. Now you know. That's what I'm talking about. Just the little things that make you go, oh, that's awesome. That's amazing.
I really did think something was wrong with my DS. I was about to cry. I was like, no. Why does it sound so funny? I was like, turn it all upside down. Baby next to me was like, why does it sound like that? I don't know. Did you drop it? She's like, no, I didn't even have yours. Yes, you did. It dropped it. It sounds funny. See, look, I'm going to turn it off. I turn it off. I turn it back on, and it's like, ding-ding-ding-ding, you know, all that weird sound. I was like, see, look, it sounds funny. Oh, my God, it's going to die. We got to sell it quick. Okay,
no,
I'm not
kidding.
Hey,
oh, man.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do as a gamer. I'm not advocating you doing it, but I didn't say you couldn't.
That's true.
All right.
We're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the NSA once again.
Oh, no.
But this time, there was a senator out there trying to warn the American people about the NSA. Senator Ron Wyden, actually. He says there's a lot more to know about the NSA surveillance activities than you've been told. This is off-game politics. It's a little long, but we're going to kind of roll through it anyway, because I think it's very important we talk about it. When it comes to the NSA's overbroad surveillance activities, Senator Ron Wyden would be perfectly within his rights to say, I told you so.
Uh-oh.
Wyden, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee, has been talking vaguely, because all the information was classified back then, about how the Patriot Act was being used in an overbroad way to keep tabs on American citizens. It used to be that spying on American citizens was outside the NSA's purview and jurisdiction, but the Patriot Act and other laws opened the floodgates. But Wyden was sounding alarm bells about this way back in 2011. He says, I want to deliver a warning this afternoon. Well, he said this in 2011. When the American people find out how their government has secretly interpreted the Patriot Act, they will be stunned and they will be angry. Fast forward to 2013, and now we understand what he was talking about. Speaking to Ars Technica last week, Senator Wyden told the publication that Edward Snowden's leaks about PRISM and mobile phone metadata collection are just the tip of the iceberg. Like most things the NSA is doing, the details on the other stuff we do not know about is classified. He says, there's a lot more to know, particularly in terms of getting a declassified version of the legal analysis used by the FISA court. When people get that and see it in the context of the bulk phone records program, they will see how astoundingly broad it is. We've got a secret law authorizing secret surveillance being interpreted by a largely secret court. The administration's legal rationale talks about something that sounds like there's a connection to terrorism. Instead, it's morphed into an arrangement where, for millions of law-abiding citizens, Americans, the government knows who they called, when they called, and where they called from. It's a treasure trove of human relationship data. In my view, that reveals so much about the lives of law-abiding Americans. Yes, it does. When asked if Edward Snowden leaks about the NSA were a good thing, Senator Wyden said he couldn't comment on much of it because a criminal investigation is underway, but also added that the debate of the last 8 weeks should have been started a long, long, long time ago by those who hold elected office rather than by Edward Snowden, and I agree. Finally, Senator Wyden warned that if surveillance laws aren't revised and modernized to keep pace with technology, Americans are going to regret it in the future. He says this is a unique time in our constitutional history. There's been a combination of dramatic changes in technology and sweeping decisions from the FISA court. If we don't take the opportunity to revise the surveillance laws now to show that security and liberty can go hand in hand, all of us are going to regret it. That's right. I have to agree. I mean, I am absolutely sure that the NSA is doing more than what was leaked. I am absolutely positive that that's what's going on. That's why they're so mad. That's why they want to catch Edward Snowden, just in case he leaks more. I think you're muted, by the way, Corey.
I am. I'm just talking much smack, too. Yeah, I think they're like, how much does he know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, speaking of Edward Snowden, he has gained temporary asylum in Russia, and he's finally getting to leave the airport. National Security Agency leaker. What a name, what a title to have. Sorry, Edward. Edward Snowden has been granted temporary asylum in Russia, left the airport where he has been holed up for more than a month, according to Associated Press reports. Snowden has been essentially trapped in Moscow's Sheremetyevo. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Sheremetyevo? Not Russian.
I don't know.
Not Russian. Wait a minute. I'm not Russian. Okay, so anyway, he's been trapped at the airport since he arrived from Hong Kong way back on June 23rd. Since his arrival, he applied for asylum in several countries, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Bolivia, and they've all given offers of asylum to him, especially Nicaragua and Bolivia and Venezuela, because they hate us. They would love to have Snowden there. Russia has offered Snowden permanent asylum as long as he does not leak any more U.S. secrets, and Snowden said, that's fine, that's cool, I can do that. Nothing permanent has been decided yet. The United States has persistently asked Russia to send Snowden home so that he can be tried for espionage, but Russia does not have an extradition treaty with the U.S., and Russian President Vladimir Putin has dismissed the request outright. He's dismissed the request. He's like, whatever. The U.S. says it will not seek the death penalty for Snowden if he were to make it back to U.S. soil. Okay, every gamer that heard me say that knows exactly what that means. We're not going to kill you. Come on home. We've all played games. When you mention that right up front, that's exactly what you're going to do. No, I'm not coming back. You're going to try to kill me. You don't lead with we're not going to kill you. why'd you mention that? I didn't mention it.
Exactly. I didn't bring that up. You must have been thinking it if you brought it up.
Why you say that? So anyway.
Oh, I can't agree. Sorry for y'all heard that.
So Snowden has leaked lots of details about the spying abilities of the NSA. First, it was PRISM, which is a program for monitoring users of popular tech companies like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and Yahoo. His latest revelation is XKeyscore, which appears to be way more powerful than PRISM and supposedly allows the NSA to wiretap anyone as long as it has their email address, see anyone's real-time internet activity, read anyone's email. They're listening to us right now. WikiLeaks, the prominent classified document leaking organization that provided some help to Snowden, said on Twitter that they were very pleased with the results. WikiLeaks is quoted as saying, "We would like to thank the Russian people and all those others who have helped to protect Mr. Snowden. We have won the battle. Now the war." Run, Edward, run!
Dude, don't come back. For real.
I wouldn't come back.
No.
I know people are upset. They're like, he committed treason. I get it. But I... it's kind of like a shoot the messenger deal here. He told you something you needed to know. Yeah, he told you something you needed to know. You may not be happy with what he told you, but we needed to know. And I understand both sides of this. I understand the NSA has a need to watch, but as we keep telling you guys over and over, the scary part is, it is they who decides if you are guilty of something, not you. You may honestly be sitting there clipping coupons, Grandma, but you accidentally downloaded a program that's watching you, or it's sending out credit card numbers or something. You don't even know you have it, and the NSA can bust up in the house and take your 80, 90-year-old granny and put her in jail. And all she was doing was looking at coupons for Tide. Mm-hmm. She was minding her own business.
Yep.
So, and I know some of you are saying they wouldn't do that, but if before Edward Snowden, if I had told you your government was spying on you, you would have said they would never do that as well, right? Just saying. All right, we'll talk about this more later on tonight. We can use proper language. And Edward, send us some stuff from Russia.
Right?
Or maybe not, because the NSA is listening. They might try to take the shoes you send me, and then we're going to have a problem.
Don't be taking Corey's shoes, y'all. She'll be mad.
I'll be the main one outside. They got me handcuffed, and I'll be like, no. No, 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 no. Did you just take my shoes out of the... Let me uncuff myself.
She can do that, y'all.
It's not even an uncuffing. It's not even an uncuffing thing. I'm not going to tell y'all.
We're not going to talk about it.
James is talking about, James says, you take my purse, I'll cap you. I may let him have the purse. I love my purses. I do. But my shoes, oh, man. You don't touch the shoes, you don't touch the console.
Not touch
for sure.
The shoes. No.
That is a problem.
Two things, you don't touch any girl.
Any girl gamer, yes. Then we have ceased to be joking. Hey, these are cute, I'm going to take them. What happened? You didn't even see me move.
And then there's, did you just touch my, no, you did not just touch my PlayStation. Bitch, we gon', don't even, no. Hold my earrings, for real.
Oh, that's you, Snow. See, that's not a me thing. That's you with the hold my earrings.
I didn't want my earrings to get yanked out. It was a nice earring.
Every time you tell me that, and then you actually have them off is what kills me. Most people say hold my earrings and they're taking them off. When she says that, y'all, she's already got them off and she's putting them in my hand. Hold my earrings. Like, when did you take your earrings off? I didn't even see you move.
I'm mad, dude. Don't mess with me.
Shoes coming off. Yeah. All right, we got to do more news.
All right, let me do one. Apparently, Ken Levine, who is the BioShock Infinite developer, had something to say about internet rage and what happened with David Vonderhaar.
And Fish. Well, I bet you.
And yes, thank you. And I'm Phil Fish as well. You were going to do this story, weren't you? Sorry.
No.
Go ahead. Okay. So apparently, Mr. Levine says that the abuse directed at Call of Duty's David Vonderhaar and Fez developer Phil Fish over the last week has made him sad. Speaking to Eurogamer, Levine explained how he deals with abuse from fans and what he thought about how Phil Fish handled the situation with Marcus Beer from Game Trailers earlier in the week. He told Eurogamer's Tom Bradwell, he said, "Look, I'm very fortunate, Tom. Don't play violin for me. I've got a pretty good life, and I get to do cool things. I think it's more actually that it can end up being counterproductive for the gamer's own interest. Like, for instance, Vonderhaar. If I were him, especially to start bringing your family into it, I mean, I've had people say threatening things to me. You know, it's like, why would he want to get up the next morning and go try?" Levine is referring to some in the Call of Duty community who threatened Vonderhaar last week after patch for Black Ops 2 made some minor changes, keyword minor, guys, minor changes to a handful of weapons in the game. Speaking on how Phil Fish handled his interactions with Marcus Beer on Twitter, Levine said, "I don't want to speak for anyone, but if you've seen some major developers starting to, you know, Phil Fish, I think was probably this is him talking, by the way. He's kind of stammering a little bit. He says, I don't know how well he thought out that reaction. I don't know him very well." Levine goes on to say that he can understand why some developers who have taken public abuse would decide that it's just easy to walk away from the industry. Speaking on his own experiences with fans, Levine said that most of his fans are sweethearts and that over-the-top criticisms and uncouth behavior ultimately hurts gamers. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. That's the last quote for you. He says, "And that's what I worry more about, is how it affects games. As a gamer, games come out, I hope it's good, and if I like it, I play it. And if I don't like it, I don't play it. And I think you can get in a strange space where it ends up being counterproductive for the gamers. But for me, it's just part of the job at this part. But I don't think it helps gaming." Dude, you really need to learn how to public speak, because it's really hard to reach your quotes. But he has a point. It is hurtful to gamers as a whole when people react like this. It really, really is.
You know what? I'm going to even go so far as to say this. Have you guys out there wonder why the developers, a lot of them, once they get a taste of dealing with women gamers, why they usually want to exclusively deal with us? Because we don't do this kind of stuff. You hear me talking, saying I want to sit in their lap? I will. I'll sit in their lap. I will smile. I will hug. I will kiss on them. And I walk away with a ton of stuff to bring home to my girls, some stuff to give away to you guys. Because of the way that I react, you cannot go and scream at your game developer. You cannot. Phil Fish, I'm sorry. I know you were upset, but I have no respect for you. I'm telling you, you don't love the game industry if it was, you know, a few comments made you leave.
I agree.
I would have expected Vonderhaar to leave before you. His family's life was threatened. You just got some comments. You need to get back up on the horse, dude. Seriously. You made a hit game. Unless you just don't love it. If you don't, by all means, please go. There's a door. We don't want you here. We don't want to keep you. You know, the fryer is calling you at Burger King, wherever you're going. I don't know. But I just, I don't. Some of you guys out there need to really calm down. We said this last Thursday. We'll probably say it again tonight. You need to calm down. And no amount of changes, minor or major, to a game requires death threats. And developers, we're right here, and girls don't usually threaten your life. And you may get
That's true. And even though Yeah, even though we may not climb into your lap, you know, cause I don't usually do that unless I'm like,
I do.
Dadgum. I don't usually. But we also, as a, on, in general, girl gamers will not react the way that I have seen a lot of guy gamers react to very small changes in a game. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that all women react the same,
that we're all level-headed. I have seen one in my time. You remember
the
one we were, the World of Warcraft girl, the one that was threatening her whole clan and was saying how awesome she was? You remember who I'm talking about?
Yes.
I will blow you.
Yes.
I'll blow your beats up. Yeah, I got a level 55 shaman. What? What? Y'all don't want nothing. I was like, are you kidding? I'll come to your house and I'll kill all of you. I was like, she needs to be locked up. She needs to be locked up, seriously.
Yes, she does. Anybody who reacts like that needs to have a psych eval stat.
Yeah.
Bring in the doctors, for real.
She's the only girl I've ever seen do that. The only one, ironically, in 10 years of doing this, the only one I've ever seen react that way about a game. But you guys, I see you guys all the time. Y'all, I'm going to start carrying some, like, some trank darts or something. You'll just be standing there, you'll start screaming and right in the neck. Calm down. The stand over as you fall asleep, calm down. Now, I'm going to reach in your pocket and take your MS points, but you had it coming. You understand? Be afraid, y'all. All right. Real Networks decided to buy a game. I don't know if anybody knows this game. I've run across very few people who play. Do you ever play Slingo? Did you ever play that? Snow?
No.
That was the first social game I ever played way back when it was on AOL. It's like a cross between slots and bingo. But anyway, Real Networks has bought them for $15.6 million. Slingo was founded in 1996 and built its business on a single eponymous gaming brand that combines mechanics from slot machines and bingo. It's available on a wide range of social and mobile platforms. There's also, it's currently on Facebook. Oh, they should not have told me that. Oh, my God. They have 50 million MAUs right now on Facebook. 50 million of you are playing. And around 4.5 million are active. Slingo has been successful and compelling on every platform it's been on for 15 years. And some of you may remember, they used to sell it in Walgreens. You could buy a little handheld one, digital one, to play. Just you by yourself. It's just crazy. Real Network CEO Rob Glasser confirmed that the company is already working on new versions of Slingo for Facebook. Okay, so it's not actually out yet. Or maybe it is. It's also going to be coming to iOS and Android. With an entry into the growing market for social casino games, it could be just what the company requires. In the quarter that ended March 31st, 2013, Real Network's game divisions posted $13.9 million in revenue. However, the division returned an operating loss of $1.7 million, which still ain't bad when you made $13. Snow, I need you to stay away from this game. Okay?
Okay.
No, I'm serious. This is one of those.
Why?
Because this is one of those where you look at it and you think, it's stupid. Why would I be playing this? And then 6 hours later when you look up, you didn't eat. You didn't take a bath. You didn't brush your teeth. People are banging on the door. They want to know if you're all right because you keep yelling Slingo every time you get. Yeah, no, I need because that was me. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I gotta go to work, and I had to drive to work. I had to be work at 6 a.m. I believe, and I would be up till 5. I'm just Slingo, and they were the first ones to give away real stuff, not just money, but like cups or, you know, towels, things that, you know, useless stuff you don't really need, but you just want it. They're like, oh, it's a mug. It's a Slingo coffee mug, and it's a thermal mug. And they put the top on it, it holds the heat. You're like, oh, I need that. Never mind you got one in your hand you're drinking from. I just need that one because it says Slingo on it. Slingo! Click, you know, and you're hitting the button. Yeah, don't. Run away, Snow. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Slingo!
Slingo!
All right, that's funny.
I'm trying to save you, girl.
I appreciate it because, you know, I will get addicted to some games. I'll be like,
see, James is
like, Slingo!
James is talking about, yeah, I got time for that. Don't do it, James. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you. Don't do it. Stay away from the Slingo. I'm serious. You're thinking about it, too. Stop looking for it, Snow.
I am actually thinking about it, man. I'm like, that sounds kind of fun.
I got another one. If you don't mind. Yes, and don't you look for Slingo while I'm
Go ahead. Put your thing down.
I got a video for you here. to run a while. I do this the next one.
All right.
Okay, you people that have Netflix posts, Netflix streaming video service is finally going to give you your own profile. Today. They started testing this back in January, and basically it eliminates much of the challenge that comes with having more than one person using the same across same account across many devices. In other words, now we know when it's not you using your Netflix, you let your granny borrow it. We know it's not you. Right now, if multiple people use the same Netflix account, it messes up the account's recommendation engine, making it useless so you can't find stuff you like to watch. It also makes it difficult to keep up with what's saved in everyone's queue. A four-person household could have over 400 titles in one queue, thus making it pretty impossible to find something you saved without sifting through everything. Netflix said the new profile should be available on most devices that support Netflix, including your PlayStation 3, your Xbox 360, your iPad, your iPhone, and many smart TVs. Apple TV actually got the Netflix profile feature yesterday, according to VentureBeat. Support for devices such as those that run on Droid will be coming in the near future. They always forget about us. The company, again, while it's rolling out the new feature today, may take a while before you're able to see it pop up from where you are. But you can check that, see that video there. We'll show you exactly what it looks like. So when you see it, you'll know. Mm-hmm. Are you excited about
that? That actually sounds really good. Yeah. Because I did share a Netflix account with someone, and it did make it difficult to keep up with who liked what, because our taste in shows was vastly different. And in my queue, in my, you know, my, what is it called, suggestions, and my suggestions were things that I would never watch. And I'd be like, oh, this sucks. So I think it's awesome that you're going to have separate queues. I do.
Yeah, but see, that's going to be problems.
I think it's...
Yeah, problems.
Yep. Why is it going to be problems?
Because now I can't go to my granny's house and watch my Netflix. It's going to be like, you don't live there. We see a different profile to this address.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I don't watch Netflix anywhere else, so I guess it didn't really occur to me. That sucks.
I said, All right, are you ready?
All right, you know how we were talking about Google Fiber?
Oh.
And how excited we are of it.
Oh.
Apparently, Google Fiber has certain clauses in the agreement that they don't really advertise much. Let's talk about that, shall we? Ars Technica points out that Google Fiber's terms of service has a clause that a lot of its subscribers probably don't know about. If you don't have a written agreement with the company in advance, you are not allowed to host any type of server on its connection. This infuriated Douglas McClendon, a Google Fiber subscriber from Kansas, who filed a complaint to the FCC, claiming that Google Fiber was violating its open internet order. That order says that fixed broadband providers may not block lawful content, application services, or non-harmful devices. The FCC received the complaint and gave Google the opportunity to respond to the complaint. The company issued the following response yesterday, and here's a quote for you. Google Fiber server policy is an aspect of reasonable network management that the open internet order and rules specifically permit. Mr. McClendon appears to allege that Google Fiber's server policy violates the prohibitions against blocking and or reasonable discrimination. The order, however, provides an exception in both instances for reasonable network management. As the order explains, a network management practice is reasonable if it is appropriate and tailored to achieving a legitimate network management purpose, taking into account the particular network architecture and technology of the broadband internet access service. I'll kind of explain in layman's terms what this means in a minute. It continues, Google Fiber server policy is prototypical, reasonable network management with no discriminatory impact on any content, application, or service provider. The server policy has been established to account for the congestion management and network security needs of Google Fiber's network architecture, particularly given that Google Fiber does not impose data caps on its user. And Google could also argue that it isn't the only company imposing such restrictions on its customer. Comcast also restricts users hosting servers. What this means is that Google Fiber's customers could be restricted from hosting any type of service such as Minecraft server, peer-to-peer, or even Slingbox. Google has assured customers that this doesn't apply to things like hosting a Minecraft server, according to a Wired report, Ryan Single. single wrote, but in the Google Fiber forums, employees assure subscribers that rules aren't meant to apply to Minecraft servers. And in reality, Google Fiber probably won't notice, let alone kick you off for using a Slingbox or peer-to-peer software. You can actually find Google's response to the FCC. You can actually look it up. It's in PDF form. You can look it up at Google. I kind of agree with this, but then again, I don't. If you're going to make this stipulation in your clause, you need to make it more widely known that that's what people are signing up for when they sign up for Google Fiber. And even if you say that it won't go for hosting a Minecraft server, what exactly will it go for? What are we allowed to do? You need to spell it out for us so we know that when we sign up for your service and we're going to pay all this money to you, then we know exactly what we're signing up for. And if we are not able to host our own servers, because there are many games where you can actually have your own server, if we're not able to host those servers, you need to let us know ahead of time. Because if I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do on your service, then why am I getting your service? It's as simple as that. And you're muted again, Corey.
I am indeed. Hello? I'm just talking much smack, too. I said Minecraft servers right along with you. I was like, because I want to host one, and I'm on Xfinity, and they won't let me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me see if I can run this through this one real quick, and we'll probably talk about it later. Codemasters founder David Darling, and he is such a cutie, but David, shut up. He says he's seen it all, or Jurgen was saying he's seen it all. He co-founded Codemasters back in 1986. He took on Nintendo with the controversial Game Genie cheat cartridge. Anybody remember that? And was awarded a CBE in 2008 for his services to the company. I'm sorry, to the computer games industry. He left Codemasters in 2007, and now he's in Royal Leamington Spa. That's the name of the town where he is. He has a new company called Quali, and they're hard at work on an iOS Android title, Farm Fighters, which I think we've shown here before. They sent us the video. It's a physics-based multiplayer game which calls to mind the instantly gratifying gameplay of Worms and Angry Birds. You get to, throw worms. Yeah, we have done that one before. We throw animals, worms, something, all kind of crazy stuff. So what he's saying is physical media is like having a dead body handcuffed to the Xbox One. So he's all for digital downloads. He's also quoted as saying it will change in 6 months, and everybody will wonder why it never changed before. There's no point in distributing physical media when the internet exists. You know, David, darling, you need to be quiet. Digital media downloads has been around since forever. Anarchy Online was the first company to do digital download of their game. Do you know why they still send out discs as well as Steam, as well as Origin, as well as Desura, as well as name a whole host of other services? Because people still sometimes like to have that flipping disc. And we'll be talking about that later. The discs are not going to go away. It's nice when I don't feel like going out to download. And sometimes I want to go out. I want to talk to other gamers. I want to be in the store. Stay with us, David. Okay? Okay.
Yes.
And we'll be talking more about this tonight. Tonight, and you can call in and weigh in and tell us what you think. Do you think you'll stop going to the store to buy your games? Think about it. Midnight launches and all those kinds of things that you like to go to. No more, because David thinks, hey, why not? A couple of other things we'll talk about. The reason why people were railing against Xbox for this digital download thing. It wasn't just because it was digital. Stay with us, David. All right, we'll see the rest of you later on tonight.
Yes, we will be here. Rough Ron Ready Show. Y'all know what that means.
9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yes. Peace out, y'all.
Yeah, BT is like, no.
You mean sing? I can sing. I'd be all like,
BT says no. It does not want to play. Okay, wait. Let's try it again.
There we go.
Thank you. y'all.